Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Now, my next guest's music has been streamed over 40 billion times. She has 7 Brits and 3 Grammys to her name, and her brand new album, Radical Optimism, is out now. Dua Lipa, hello.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm really, really well.
I should try a little bit of this and see if it works. Persendetje, chkemi, mire savine, Nerlanda.
And then what was the third thing?
It was Mire Savine in Ireland.
Mire Savine in Ireland.
Welcome
I love
to Ireland.
It.
I mean, look, that's
amazing.
That's my pidgin Albania. I don't have anything else. I just learned that for you.
Very good. I'm very impressed. Thank you. That's so lovely.
Listen, I want to say congratulations on Radical Optimism. I've been lucky enough to hear it. I know most of my listeners are only getting to hear it today, but it is absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I'm so grateful. I'm so glad you like it. It's nice to hear that, because then, you know, I've been living in my own world yeah. and hoping that I'm not completely delusional and I've made something all right. So it's nice to hear you like it.
Oh, it's more than all right. That's for sure. No, I often do wonder that, though. It must be quite difficult for people who are as creative as you are and get into that situation and then create things, and all the people around think it's great, and the management think it's great, and the label think it's great. But I mean, ultimately, it's you're putting it out to the huge world, and then it must be nice to hear that it is actually brilliant.
Yeah, and it's terrifying putting it out there, but I'm so happy. It feels like a real release.
That's great. And Radical Optimism as an album title is a pretty big statement. Where did the idea come from?
It was really a statement that was introduced to me through a friend of mine. And he just kind of, he said, what I think the world needs is radical optimism. Mm. And that statement just stayed with me for the past 3 years that I've been, well, I started writing this album in February 2021. Wow. And it just stuck with me. And so many things are happening. You know, we were coming out of the pandemic. I was about to go on my tour for Future Nostalgia. Things were constantly evolving. Things were working out and they weren't. And, you know, it was just kind of that idea of, all right, what we need right now is resilience and just roll with the punches, and whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. And that kind of mindset of, you know, just let it be and essentially let go. You know, some things are out of control and you just have to go with it. That idea, that ideology, that kind of, you know, freedom in a sense, is what led me to write this record. And then it was just a statement that I just tried to implement as much as I could into my life. And then the album title just never changed.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, whatever about naming your album, I mean, to try and bring radical optimism is just such a brilliant statement for anything. I mean, look, my radio show is all about positivity. My social media is the same. I firmly believe there's more good news than bad news in the world, and we all just kind of are conditioned to consume the bad news. But the good news is better. There's more of it. Let's go with the amazing, optimistic stories. And I just, when I saw this title, I was like, wow, that is literally how I'm trying to do things. I just never put a name on it before.
That makes me really happy. I think it's important. I think also the other thing is, it's so much easier to focus on the bad stuff because it lingers the longest, you know, whether it's like a bad comment or a bad experience or something, you know, the good feelings are really fleeting. But it's about kind of trying to stay in that moment and enjoy the good things while they're there, you know?
Totally. And you mentioned resilience, actually, when you were talking about putting the album together and doing that tour and coming out of lockdown and all that. And I got a real sense of resilience in the lyrical content of this album. You seem to, like, you're happy to look at and confront difficult situations and then take the good bits out of them. Is that kind of how you approached it lyrically this time?
Definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, there's tension in some of the lyrics, but there's a lot of growth and maturity. And I feel like when I listen now back to the songs, I see how far I've come emotionally, you know? And I think it's cool to see it all kind of laid out like that.
Yeah, and that every song doesn't have to be, you know, a love song. There's lots of emotions to explore.
Exactly.
And is it true that you've been manifesting this particular album since you were creating your first album?
Yes.
Is that actually true?
Album. I think this is really the album that I've always wanted to make. You know, this is the album that's just been in waiting. I think I had to earn, the time to be able to make an album that, was just a bit more experimental, sonically, in comparison to my last record, which has that very polished disco influence, which I love so much, but I wanted to kind of free flow on this one, and I think I had to earn my stripes to be able to do that.
Right, so it felt like you needed to do the other records to get to this place now. Would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, that's so cool. And you obviously worked with Kevin Parker of Tame Impala,
Yes.
and this was again something that I think, if I'm right in my research, that you wanted to work with him from before you had a first album, but it took until now for all the stars to align it to happen.
Yeah. I think there's like an early interview somewhere where in 2017 or something, I had said that I would love to work with Tame Impala. And that's always just been a dream. But when I manifested it, I'd written it down for album three. And so when
Right.
it actually happened, it was surreal. And it exceeded all my expectations, to be able to make a whole record with Kevin and Danny and Tobias and Caroline. That whole creative chemistry of everyone in the room together was unlike anything I'd experienced before. It was just incredible. So I loved it.
And there's definitely do a Brit pop feel about this record. Again, if some people haven't heard it yet, they won't really know what we're talking about. But it is there alongside what, people will probably describe as Dua Lipa's, dance floor pop disco sounds. You've really changed, though, the way you're approaching these songs, and the way they come out to our ears is definitely a lot different.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot different, and I think that will come across when people hear it as a whole body of work as well. And I think what I wanted to really, encapture was the energy of Britpop, because I feel like there was just such a freedom to the melodies and the instrumentation and how organic it is. And I loved the feeling of, our own kind of like spiritual band that we'd created in the studio, And so to create a record in that way, I felt like I captured the essence of Britpop in that sense, with my own pop sensibility, of course, in my own way. But it was an energy that I was really trying to grasp.
You definitely nailed it. It's great. It really is. Now, about 20 odd years ago, before I worked in radio, I was a songwriter, music producer, and I had a notebook filled with lyrics, ideas. Every time I get one, I'd write it down because it was 20 odd years ago, and that was my only option, really. I left that in a loft apartment in New York, and I've never seen it since. I heard that you have a notebook with over like 97 songs written in it. Is that true?
I wrote everything for this album on this one notebook. I mean, I didn't know how valuable that notebook would end up becoming. I had just bought it from a CVS here in America, and then it just ended up being like the thing that I carried with me to every single session. But I've locked it up now. I actually finished it all the way to the very end by the
Oh,
end
no
of like the
way.
vocal. Once I went in the booth and did all the vocal recordings and all my final notes, everything, I put that in there. The notebook is finished, locked it up. I've like scanned all the pages just so I have it. And
Well, I'm glad you've gone digital with some of it, because like the heartbreak I have when I think back to mine, like, look, I didn't have a career like you did, but at the time it was just so heartbreaking to not have it.
of course, because they're your thoughts and your feelings, and it's a moment in your life. I would be absolutely devastated, even for the shit songs, in my thing. Like, I would be really upset to not have them, because it's a part of my journey and my growth. It's not just, the songs that ended up on the record. It's all the little thoughts and feelings that I had. Like, all of that's really valuable. So I feel for you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'd also like for the record to say that most of the songs I had in my notebook were shit songs, so I'm probably all right.
No.
Come here. But I do remember when I would write with other people that like lots of pop songs would come out of a session. In other words, like you wouldn't just go, hey, I've written a song, get a singer in to sing it. Like you'd go and work with a singer or work with another writer, another producer. And like, I don't know, you just kind of get things out of those situations that sometimes you definitely wouldn't get on your own, but they can also be really intimidating. How do you find a co-writing session?
Well, I guess it's really all I know. Mm. It's how I really started. And I was thrown into so many sessions with so many different people, you know, in so many different rooms, every day somebody different. And it is daunting because it's about, you know, how you're going to open up and express yourself in a room like that. And I think that also just taught me so much, you know, being able to go into a room and write very personal stories with people, you know, who you may or may not have creative chemistry with. And I guess just through experience, now I'm so lucky to get to work with people who I've worked with a long time and I've created relationships with, and even new people I've gotten, you know, I've got confidence in myself more so as a songwriter than I did when I first started, where I can, you know, command and dictate the way I want, you know, it to go and where I want it to go sonically and lyrically, and really kind of take the reins. But everything, you know, it comes with time.
Yeah,
for sure. It's terrifying.
It is. But isn't it true that in Levitating, the term sugar boo, that famous lyric in that, was not just something you and your friends called each other?
Yeah, exactly. So that was me, Sarah Hudson, and Coffee, who wrote the song together with the producer Coz, and we just had the funniest nicknames for each other. So we just put Sugar Boo into it to commemorate the friendship.
And look, End of an Era, what a song. What an amazing way to open an album. And those kind of spoken bits really stand out, I think. It's just that one really. And These Walls, I think I'm a guitar player at heart, a rocker. A metal guy, and I think These Walls sounds like a guitar song that, you know, is turned into a pop song.
Yeah, it's got that energy behind it for sure.
Definitely. And before I go, just obviously you're talking to an Irish audience here. You've kind of graduated through the venues in Ireland. You've gone from, you know, small rooms like the Academy, and then played main stage Electric Picnic. Like, have you got a favorite memory of an Irish show or anything that stands out to you about your time here?
Oh, gosh. I mean, to be honest, all my time that I've spent in Ireland has been incredible. Like the last shows that I did at the Three Arena.
Yes. Yeah.
It's always just like exciting and fun. I do remember my mic flying off the stand from all the excitement that I had from performing on stage. It was like during Future Nostalgia. And it just flew into the crowd. So sometimes the unexpected can happen at any point. But, you know, the Irish crowd always brings it. They love to have fun and always been so supportive of my career from the very beginning. So I'm very grateful to all my Irish fans and listeners. And I love coming down.
Well, we can't wait to see you. Whenever you do make it back, we'll be waiting with open arms. We love the new record. I know so many people have been touching me this morning since they've heard it. So congratulations again on Radical Optimism.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Dua. Take care.
Thank you. I appreciate it. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.